I remember reading this before I ever became a Christian. So this has been out there a while. Love came down at Christmas. Love, all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Stars and angels gave the sign. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oswald Chambers says, the only way we can understand the Bible is by personal contact with the living Word. Give reference to that today in one of the songs. And we talked about it last week, that Jesus is the Word, the living Word. And what he wants to see is that Word alive in us. Dr. Kennedy says this, the Star of Bethlehem was a star of joy. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. All true joy comes from Him. Spent a little time on that right last week too, but you know, trying to manufacture joy is a most difficult situation. Talking with someone this morning about having grandkids opening presents, and they're so excited and everything, you know. But by Thursday, they want new ones. You know, or they've broken one of them once. Happiness comes and goes. Joy is something beyond that. Because joy is a person. The simple shepherds heard the voice of an angel and found their lamb. The wise men saw the light of the star and found their wisdom. Isn't that good? Never thought I'd quote Folk Machine, but I just did. And most of you don't know who he is, so it doesn't matter. I quoted this last night too. The Bible is the cradle wherein Christ is laid. So we just don't find him in a manger once a year. You find him in the Bible all year round. So Oswald Chambers says, so begin to know him now and never finish. That's pretty good. Max Lucado says this, it's the definition of worship, talking about the Christmas story. A hungry heart finding the Father's feast, a searching soul finding the Father's face, a wandering pilgrim spotting the Father's house, finding God seeking us. This is worship. This is worship. Finding God seeking us. That's worship. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And then Warren Wiersbe, I bet you haven't heard of him in a long time. He was the voice of Back to the Bible on radio for many years. And I went through a season of my life where I wouldn't listen to anything but Christian radio. And you think I wasn't disciplined. No music, all preaching, all day. But yes. And I, well, anyway. He says, when the child of God looks into the Word of God, he sees the Son of God and is transformed by the Spirit of God to share the glory of God. That is the Christmas story. Isn't that really good? Now you're going to like Warren Wiersbe better, too. I love that quote. Matthew chapter 2. We'll read the first 12 verses and then we'll have something to say about those verses. Now, after Jesus was born, well, see, what do you mean? That left a lot out. See, that was like last night. I mean, we talked about that last night. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king. Now, I don't know about you, but we didn't use the word magi or magi, depending on whether you're from New Jersey or not, how you pronounce it. We always said wise men. That always heard wise men. Now, I thought that was strange, but the three wise men, like there were only three, but magi, wise men, came from the east and arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we've come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. Well, if you're a king and you hear there's another king, that's troubling. He was troubled in all of Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod secretly called the wise men and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the child, and when you found him, report to me so I too may come and worship him. This may be the first of hidden agendas that you can find, because he certainly had one. Verse 9, after hearing it came, they went their way, and the star, which they had seen in the east, went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. There you go. Yeah. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary and his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another way. A lot there. So here's Herod, and the wise men are coming to Jerusalem to see Herod because they're looking for the king of the Jews. Herod's not a Jew. He's an appointed king. He's a bad hombre. Wicked, murderer, killed his wife, killed his sons-in-law. George, nothing more about him. But having killed his wife, his three sons-in-law, and several others. And so the wise men come to Herod, not because he's such a good guy, but because he's the person in the position. And he should know what's going on. Now, they aren't Jews either. Come from the east. Why would they say, we've come to find the king of the Jews? If they were Jewish, they'd say, we've come to find our king. So we're talking to a non-Jewish king. These are non-Jewish king, people talking to the non-Jewish king. And yet they're looking for the king of the Jews. This is a pretty big deal. And very unusual. It shouldn't happen like that. And, you know, when I was a child, I heard the Christmas story. I went to church. I just wasn't a Christian. And I can remember thinking, well, these guys are so smart. Why can't they just find him themselves? Why would they come and talk to this guy who wants to kill him? You know, they didn't know at that time when they killed him. It just didn't seem to make sense to me. And I didn't know until later that these guys are actually scientists. They're astronomers, astrologists, natural science. That's what they were. They weren't priests and preachers and elders and that kind of thing. No, they were just scientists, more or less. But they were captivated because the Lord spoke to them in a language they could understand, which was astronomy and astrology. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Have you ever talked to somebody that's like a biologist or something? You know, you're thinking, oh yeah, and they have incredible ways that I would never speak of or think of finding God in things because of their scientific training. Yeah. Not all of them are that way. But there are Christians who are involved in lots of different kinds of special training, and they find the Lord in all sorts of ways. I know a guy that did weather that was a Christian trying to talk to me about clouds and all that kind of stuff, and I'm going, good for you. I flew a kite once, it's about as much as I know. But they can find wonderful things that would not have sensationalized me, because I don't have that. That's the nomenclature that I use. But they find it in ways that are wonderful. So they're from the east. Maybe they're from Persia, somewhere like that. And I say they're scholars more than they are holy men. It seemed like they're always presented as holy men when I was a kid. But that doesn't mean I remember correctly. But they're following a star. Now, come on. If you're, isn't that a little bit unusual? They're following a star. We're talking like a real star in the real sky. And can you imagine wise man number one calling his wife and said, honey, I'm going to be gone for several months. Why? Well, it's a star. Who? Elvis? I mean, you know, they're going to follow a star in the sky. Well, they do stars all the time. And so you're taking like expensive stuff with you? Why? Well, there's going to be somebody when we get there to give these gifts to. And you know, Mrs. Wiseman is thinking, huh? What's her name? Yeah. I mean, we're just going to leave. We'll be gone for months because we see a star in the sky. These are real people in real people situations, and they have real families and real friends, and they're trying to, the object's making an explanation. We're going to be gone. How long? For a while. Well, how long is that? Well, at least, I don't know, it takes so many months, weeks, whatever, to get to Jerusalem, and then we're going on from there. Where are you going on from there? We don't know. Sounds a little sketchy to me, but we read stories like that, well, that's really great, but there's interaction here. These are real people having to do real people things. And so this was no small issue. They must have really thought there was something in this. There had to be something beyond what they knew in order to get them to do that. So they're following the star. And they get to Jerusalem saying, okay, we got this far. Where is the king? Assuming everyone would know all about this because their lives have been dictated by this for the last however many weeks. And they're going, we don't know what you're talking about. And they really did to trouble the people, because here's Herod, and he's the king. Now they're saying there's another king. Well, what do you, if you're the people, what are you going to think? War. That there's another king, and we've got a king, and there's going to be opposition. Between the first thing they're thinking, it's not like these people aren't already captive and, you know, haven't seen some difficulty already. So it's just the backdrop of this is amazing. There's so many things going on. So I love this. The Magi followed the star, and it stopped where Jesus was. It stood over the place where Jesus was. Now this is a, you know, like a star in the sky that you can see from way down here. And they're in Jerusalem, and all they know is that they need to check out and see where we're going now. And they were thrilled that when after they talked to Herod, boom, there's a star again. Great. We know where to go. And so they follow the star, and it's not like in the town or in the county where he is. It's over the building where he is. It's like, you know, that's like some kind of manger here. And I wrote in my notes, that's GPS. That's God's personal stall. Come on. Because he's right there. There's no mistake. They spent all this time and energy and money and left their homes, and now they're coming to see a person, because it was never about the star. It was about the guy who made the star. Isn't that great? And so they saw that the star was hovering over the place where Jesus was. It was like, park here. I mean, that's pretty slick. But it says they entered the house and they fell to the ground and they worshiped him. Look up at me now. They worshiped him, not them. Anybody understand what I'm trying to tell you? They worshiped him. And he was the only non-grown up in the place. Because they knew something was up. And when they found, they found the source of the joy. I think, this is me, I can't prove this, I think they kind of maybe came to an understanding that this is how that star got there. So, what was their response? They entered the house, they fell to the ground, and they worshiped him. See, that's kind of what happens when you find the one who brings joy to the world. Right. When you have followed him and pursued him, and you have that encounter, boom. And then it says, then opening their treasures, they gave gifts to Jesus. This was my first Christmas revelation many, many, many years ago. Worship unlocks and opens the treasures within you. Because they worshiped him, and then they opened their treasures and gave out the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh. I think this is why Christmas is one of the reasons it's such a wonderful time. Because, yeah, it's busy and you're going 100 miles an hour, but when you really get to the core of what it's all about and you find him, then nothing's off limits.
Right.
And you give him your heart, you give him your heart, you give him your pocketbook, you know, you give him your wife, you give him your children, you give him your husband. You know, I remember when I first got saved, this has been many years ago, electricity, but it was a long time ago. And I wrestled with God. I heard somebody preach about wrestling with God. I don't even say it in a couple of months. And so I didn't have any biblical understanding. I just knew Jesus, man. And that was enough for me. And he said, you need to give your family to the Lord. You need to give your wife and your children to the Lord. So no matter what happens, you know, going. I thought, well, oh, and somehow, this guy, I don't even know who he was on the radio, you know, and probably didn't say it quite right, or maybe I didn't hear it quite right, but I thought if I gave them that when I got home, they'd be dead. Makes me cry, no. I cried all the way home, because I said, Lord, here they are, it doesn't matter, you know, I give you everything. And I walked home, and I walked in the door, they were alive. Man. They looked at me like, what kind of idiot are you? Because I'm like, <"No." laughs> But it's that kind of encounter, when you have that kind of encounter with him, where nothing's off limits. See, then the treasures are all there.
Yeah.
And they had gold, they had frankincense, they had myrrh, had all this wonderful stuff, they had their time, they had their talent, they walked away from their, whatever they were doing for a living. I mean, and now it doesn't make any difference. And it didn't say that God was demanding those things of them. It said something happened and the treasure chest opened. Worship opens up the treasure chest. Worship is finding God, seeking you, as we quote. So they just, they pour it out. Frankincense, which is like an embalming oil. Because he's going to talk about it. And, you know, gold is what you give as a tax to the king, right? And the idea here is that they found the one who created life. They found the one who was going to overcome death. And they found the one who was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they gave accordingly. Now, just think about this for a minute. Where had they come from? Yeah. Who was he? He's a king. What did they give him? Tip of the hat. They gave him nothing because he wasn't carrying that which could open them up. When they found the real king, everything came forth. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So the positional king, I'm going to call that religion, doesn't have anything to give you and doesn't open you to give anything yourself. But the real king is full of life and who gives life. You know, I don't know how many scholars you know, but the ones I know I haven't found laying on the floor worshiping God. But they went to the floor. Oh my goodness. Because they knew they were in the presence of someone greater than they. With Herod, it was like, not so much. And really, there might even have been some kind of a political protocol that you don't come and see the king with nothing.
Yeah.
Of course, they had this star thing going for them. But they had nothing personal. Nothing came out of their treasure. Nothing was opened up to them. Religion can't do that.
Right.
Presence of God. It doesn't say that Jesus stood up in the cradle and started talking to him. All he had to give at that point was his presence. And his presence opened up their gifts.
Right?
And it's just, that's really good. So how do you get your heart treasures open? It's by connection with, encountering with the king who's alive. The child is alive. In this case, only a child. And so I think these guys had an encounter. I mean, they got a whole lot more than they bargained for.
Oh, yeah.
This wasn't just, hey, three guys that went to the college together, let's do a road trip. They had a purpose for going, which was the storm.
Right.
They had no concept of what they were going to encounter.
Right.
And they got a whole lot more. Can I say this? They gave away the gold, they gave away the frankincense, they gave away the myrrh. And they went home a lot richer than they came.
That's right.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's good.
See, now that's what it means to be connected to the Lord.
Yeah.
And you find him in his word, and then you find his word alive in him. Holy Spirit quickening that word. And you can, when you hear something like that, I mean, just as a very biblically ignorant young man, being saved a little bit, give your family away. You know, I just was very literal. They said, so I did. Don't do what I thought. But I looked back and I thought, I don't know if I'd do that today. I know too much. You know, God wasn't requiring that. But I thought it meant like giving away to the point where you never have them again. I really did. And I thought, what's a good thing I was that done? I mean, really, I was biblically ignorant at that time. But there was something that happened between me and him over that. He knew everybody was going to be okay. And he knew, he wasn't making any incredible requirement of me, but he wanted me to believe that I believed.
Yeah.
Man, I did. At the end, I laughed about it later. What an idiot that was. But it's like John Wimber said, you know, I'm a fool for Christ who's fooling you. That's how I felt that day. What an idiot. But I was a happy idiot. And there girls were playing on the floor. Kathy's alive. I'm like, yeah, all right, great. All this in heaven too, you know. Is everybody pretty cool with that? So the three wise men get back on their camels and said they'd been warned by God in a dream. They didn't get there by God in a dream. They got there by star and sky. But having been warned by God in a dream, said, you don't want to go see Herod anymore. I think they had that figured out. Said they went another way. And they were a lot different than when they came. And when you have an encounter with the Lord, you'll walk another way too. You'll get to treasure the things that are treasurable.
Yeah.
Seek the things you're supposed to be looking for and find the things that he had prepared for you.
That's good.
I think he'd love for this to be a season where we have a worship encounter. Whether that's a prayer, a song, a silence, where something happens and we're open to him, perhaps in ways we never have yet. And guess what? He gives a whole lot more than you're capable of giving.
That's right.
You receive a whole lot more than you give. So I just wonder if there's a treasure. This is the way I think. That God's going to release to us that may require releasing something that you've been traveling with, you've been carrying.
Amen.
Maybe not a bad thing. It may be something that's kept that from happening. I'll pray for us that way. Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us this morning. Lord, we want to learn your wisdom from these wise men. You gave them something to pursue, and they pursued it all the way to the end. They pursued you to the place of fulfillment. And Lord, you're no respecter of persons. I believe you want us to be alerted to what you're saying and doing, and push all the way through to seeing your fulfillment, not stopped by some religious or positional figure, to follow you all the way through. So Lord, if there's something that we're treasuring, something that we're holding more dear than is healthy for us, would you give us the grace, figuratively, just to fall on our faces and worship you? Knowing who you really are and permitting you to be who you really are to each one of us. Oh, Lord, I genuinely believe, like those three, you might be speaking to us today, and we might have the power he might have the grace to walk another way, to see and carry the treasure of encountering you, and see what that does to our everyday work and our everyday life. What a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. Jesus Christ, our King. We worship you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My King and my Lord. We pursue you today, knowing you are in pursuit of us. What a treasure to know you and to be known by you. What a treasure to have you speak to us. We welcome you. We receive you. And we proclaim peace on earth and your goodwill, the kind intention of your heart towards us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.